sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey, Sunbury Motors, Kerry Woods, 11 and 15 in Hubbell's Wharf. Kevin is driving another great vehicle from Sunbury Motors.
Yeah, this week we're on 4th Street with the Hyundai dealership and talking about $8,800 off the 2014 Hyundai Genesis. It is Hyundai's luxury vehicle. Leather interior, very comfortable seats, and the quietest ride of any vehicle I think I've driven in maybe a decade. I mean, you talk about ambient noise gone, outside road noise gone. You can have a conversation in there at a whisper, and everybody can hear everything you're saying. That's good and bad. If you have somebody in the backseat you don't want to hear the conversation, that's bad. But it also allows you to turn up the radio.
My goodness.
And enjoy a great sound system as well. And all the features you would expect from a luxury vehicle without the luxury vehicle price. Check out the Hyundai Genesis. $8,800 off right now at Sunbury Motors. Find out more by visiting Skip and the folks in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury.
Sounds like the commercial I did for the Hampton Inn on the Penn State Radio Network at the holidays.
Okay.
I said, you have people coming in for the holidays. I said, you have two options. You can put them up in the Hampton Inn, I says, or you can have them stay at your place and you go to the Hampton Inn.
I think I remember you're in that one, yeah. Hey, you were talking about brackets earlier. Oh, go ahead. Finish your thought. Sorry.
No, my thought's finished.
You were talking about brackets earlier, I
hit the punchline. We're good.
And I had to chuckle because I thought about my bracket compared to David Letterman's bracket. And here's what Dave said last night.
Are you excited about March Madness? You fill out your brackets and stuff. You get all involved in the college tournament. Listen, okay, then you'll appreciate this. Listen to this. If Kansas, Virginia, and the University of Birmingham, Oregon, and Villanova, if those teams had won, all right, and Iowa had upset Gonzaga, and Butler hadn't lost to Notre Dame, I'd have a perfect bracket.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at right now. I know that feeling.
Mm-hmm. Again, for those who have 14 out of 16, I'd also like to know exactly how their IRS return went as well. Hey, I got a $10,000 refund. I bet you did.
You need to play Powerball and Mega Millions all this week.
That's exactly right. All right, let's bring in Alex Walker, ABC 9 in Sioux Falls. Alex, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us. And tell us a little bit about the tournament out in Seattle.
Well, I'll tell you what. Kyle Wilcher is a matchup nightmare, and just watch him, you know, go against that Iowa Hawkeye defense. You just tore him apart. I mean, this guy can go down inside and bump and bruise with your bigs and beat you, and then he can step outside and hit a three, you know, over someone as well. So he's not someone I want to face, that's for sure. And Kevin Pangos, just the kid has so much experience. You know, that veteran leadership that he brings to that Gonzaga team is just paramount. And what's neat about him is, you know, he works so well with that team, and he can also step back and drill a three in your face. So just watching Gonzaga, they're the whole across the board just match up nightmares for every team they played. Iowa, they couldn't do anything. And this Gonzaga team at one point, they were shooting 71%. I don't care who you're playing, if you're shooting 71%, you're going to beat anybody in the country, maybe besides Kentucky. But you know, just watching a team like Gonzaga, and when everyone keeps bringing up the question, can anybody beat Kentucky down the road? Well, Gonzaga is definitely on the short list for someone that could at least give him a problem.
Fans did not see Sabonis' dad play when he was in Lithuania. They saw him when he was with Portland. He was a little heavier then. But his game at this age is very similar to what his dad's game happened to be. When you watch that sleek athlete out there with that kind of size, what are you seeing?
What I'm seeing is someone that can take over a game. And this guy, this confidence just grew throughout the game. When we first started in that Iowa game, he was getting some touches down low, but wasn't making as much of an impact as he did later in the game. Throughout the game, he was getting his touches. At one point, he had that big poster dunk. I don't know if it was over Gable, Shaney, or Peter Jock, one of the two for Iowa. But you know, the crowd loves it. And all the Gonzaga fans in attendance were chanting his name. I believe there's a Lithuanian flag there as well.
Yeah.
People were hanging out there at Seattle. But they love his game. He's very impressive. And he's one of those guys that if he starts out hot, he's just another one of those players on that team that can beat you in many different ways.
What were some of the other takeaways that you had from that region, especially, you know, because Gonzaga was the only team that advanced out of there?
Well, I tell you what, Louisville. Louisville's a team that kind of came into the NCAA tournament a little snake bit. I mean, they won 4-5 heading into the ACC tournament, but prior to that, they had lost a couple of bad losses. They lost to NC State, and they're playing here in this next round. So that's kind of interesting that NC State has that confidence over Louisville heading into this Sweet 16 matchup. But the Louisville media, I was sitting next to them pretty much the whole time I was there, and they were almost shocked that Louisville got back to the Sweet 16 for a fourth straight year. I mean, this is a team that they needed everything to beat UC Irvine in that 13-4 matchup. I mean, the whole Gonzaga crowd, all the teams that were watching that game got behind UC Irvine, which is a really funny and interesting dynamic in that game. They all got behind the Anteaters, and they almost beat them. And there's kind of a no-call there at the end that maybe put the game one way or another, but now that Louisville beat them and then got past that, you know, that senior-laden Northern Iowa squad, this is a team that can make another deep run. They have a game against NC State.
Right.
They can beat NC State. It's Oklahoma or Michigan State. There aren't any heavy, I mean, Michigan State's a heavy hitter, but Villanova's out of the mix. Virginia's out of the mix. And then it's just that Louisville team that has a lot of talented players. I heard Terry Rozier was unreal against Northern Iowa. They did nothing. They couldn't really do anything against him, and he just, you know, Rick Pitino after the game was just talking about how much he adores the kid and how much he has helped this Louisville team get past some of the bumps and bruises this season. But, I mean, and another thing, Montrezl Harrell, you guys have seen him on TV. The guy's bigger in person. I didn't know if that was even possible. I mean, he had two of those huge alley dunks towards the latter stretch of that UNI game, and the kid's just a monster. And you know, he's passionate, going to the NBA next year, and there's a reason why. It's a stud.
Speaking of monsters, that kid from UC Irvine, oh my goodness.
Oh, goodness, yes. Don't ask me to say his name because I don't know how to say it, but he's big. He's a big guy.
Big dude.
He during the press conference, they had all the different players lined up, and he was in the middle of them, and it just looked like he didn't belong there. It looked like a cartoon character with how big he is, and people were going up and getting pictures with him, and it was unbelievable. You know, just watching Montrezl Harrell match up against him, it didn't even look fair. And Montrez is a very large guy, so it was really really neat to see that guy play in person. Just you know, the definition of just raw talent.
When you talked with the Louisville people, did they talk about the adjustment this team had to make without Jones in the backcourt with Rozier and how long that really took?
They did a little bit. Yeah, that was kind of the one thing that they were wrapping their stories around and trying to, you know, alter their pieces too when they were doing their post-game raps about how when this team lost Chris Jones, they had to kind of change their identity a little bit. And heading into the tournament, Rick Pitino said, you know, to be fully honest, I don't know what my team's identity is at this point, and it'll be interesting to see what happens, you know, when they get into the tournament. I believe he said, you know, multiple times throughout the week during shoot-around that I can see my team exiting in the first round, but I could also see my team making a Final Four run. And it all depends on how they adjust to losing Chris Jones. And based on what I saw out in Seattle this week, they did a pretty good job of adjusting without him. And there's just another team you can add to that list of a team that could make a run. But, yeah, they were all talking about that, about Chris Jones. And when you lose a piece like that,
right,
you never know how your team's going to react to that.
Right. Well, he lost it himself. It was, you know, and that's what makes it tough for everybody. It's not an injury. It's something he did. Now let's get back to Gonzaga for a moment. They had not been out of the opening weekend since 2009. Was there a sense of relief they finally did it?
Oh, absolutely. What's neat is, you know, Seattle's only 280 miles from Spokane. And
right. As
you can imagine, the crowd was about 90-10 Gonzaga to Iowa fans. And every little thing Gonzaga did, whether it be a free throw, a layup, a big three, that crowd just erupted. I could barely hear myself think watching Gonzaga play there against Iowa on Sunday. But yeah, absolutely a big sense of relief. I mean, when I was standing outside of the gate trying to get some Iowa fan reaction after that game, so many Gonzaga fans just were kind of, you know, wiping their brow, just kind of saying, you know, thankfully, you know, we have a team this talented that actually has a chance to make a run now. And there's been so many times when they had these talented teams that that got beat in the opening rounds and didn't have a chance to prove what they could really do. Mark Few is one of the best coaches in the country, and he's a very, very interesting guy to talk to. You can just tell how bright the guy is. And he kept saying, I mean, this is one of the best, if not the best, teams I have had, you know, here at Gonzaga. And it's just, it's nice to see a team this talented have the chance to kind of show the country what they can do. This is a team that's a win over an 11 seed in UCLA from being the Elite Eight. And that's not something Gonzaga has done. So I hope Gonzaga, you know, plays well down the stretch, because there's just so many neat storylines on that team, just so many talented players, and they're just deep. They're very deep, and I'm talking to some of the players after the game. There's a lot of great guys on that team.
This is a team that down the stretch actually lost a game at the Kennel when BYU beat them, and they struggled in a couple of games down the stretch. When you talked with them or saw them in the press conference, what made the difference for them in Seattle, where suddenly for two games it looked like they were back to playing like they did in December and January?
Well, I tell you what, one of the opening questions in that press conference was, did this BYU loss light a fire under you? And it was a resounding yes across the board. I mean, it was almost a blessing in disguise losing to BYU in that game, kind of lit the fire under them. And they kind of said it was a relief almost to lose that game, because there was so much pressure building on them to keep that unbeaten streak alive. But now they had a loss, they kind of realized, hey, the pressure is off. Let's go back to playing like we have all season. And they just played so loose, you know, in Seattle in their two games, especially. And North Dakota State travels well, and that game was a little tight at times, but they played well. And then Iowa was kind of the culmination of what this team can do at its best. I mean, shooting 71% at one point in the game. Kyle Wilcher started the game 6 of 6 with 15 points, and they were just all smiles the entire game. You could just tell how loose they were. You could just tell how much fun they were having on that big stage. And you know, watch out for a team like Gonzaga, for sure.
How gratifying is this for Kyle Wilcher, because he left Kentucky to do this? And he may not be playing. He may not be playing at Kentucky if he had stayed.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of one of the big storylines. I mean, it would be really, really neat to see, you know, a Gonzaga team match up against a Kentucky team in the national championship, and then Kyle Wilcher. You know, I'd imagine it would be gratifying for him, because he might not get the opportunity to shine in the national spotlight like he's doing now at Gonzaga, and that's what he's doing. He's shining. I mean, he's one of those players that if you walked into that building and didn't know anything about basketball and you said, who's the best player on the court right now, everyone would say Kyle Wilcher, which is how talented he looked, with how well he played. He just has so much confidence on the floor. There was a point where he was going down low and bumping and bruising with Aaron White and Adam Woodbury for Iowa and beating them almost every time down the floor.
Right.
And then he would take him outside and shoot a three and hit it in their face. So he's one of those guys, a good example of someone that had to move on and realize he needed a different opportunity to make headway in his career, and it's worked out for him.
All right, so take me forward with both Louisville and Gonzaga here. Obviously, now that you've watched them play, it seems like you've got a little more vested interest in watching them move forward in the tournament. What will it take for them to move forward?
Yeah, so usually I have vested interest in the teams that are doing well in my bracket, but my bracket's busted. So now I can just focus on the team that I've actually seen and kind of cheer on them. But looking at Louisville, like I mentioned, you know, they just lost NC State, you know, a couple weeks back. So that's an NC State Wolfpack team that's very dangerous. They just beat Nova, and they have the confidence of beating a Louisville team. So that's a neat matchup there, you know, up in that region. And Louisville, if they continue to play the way they're playing, getting, you know, Rozier in the mix, Harrell in the mix, and just continuing to knock down shots down the stretch, you know, who knows what Louisville can do. I mean, when you have a coach like Rick Pitino, people, you know,
yeah,
if you have a good coach who's been there before, who can get it done, you never know. That's Tom Izzo's situation. There's no safer bet than Tom Izzo in March. So same with Rick Pitino. If he can get those guys rallied around him, that's a dangerous team. And then looking at Gonzaga, like you mentioned, they're a win over UCLA, a team that probably shouldn't have been in the field away from playing the Duke-Utah winner. So I would love to see a Duke-Gonzaga matchup winner goes to the Final Four. And I think the ratings, and I think some people around the country would enjoy a matchup like that as well. But watching Jahlil Okafor, you know, bump and bruise with some of those bigs from Gonzaga would be a fun matchup to key in on.
There's been some criticism of the tournament. It's interesting because it's come out of the ESPN quarter, which doesn't carry the tournament. I found that to be interesting. That the quality of basketball isn't great. You sat there at Key Arena for 3 days. So you tell me, what kind of quality of basketball did you see?
Well, I kind of saw, you know, half and half. There were some games that dragged on a little bit, and the quality wasn't quite there.
Right.
And what I will tell you is, you know, down the stretch of most of these games, the second half of most of these games were great basketball, and it showed you that basketball was alive and well. I mean, when a Gonzaga team goes up against an Iowa team, and one team's shooting 71% at one point, and Iowa's shooting 55% at one point, and they're just going back and forth, both fan bases erupting after each bucket, you know, that kind of shows that you know, that basketball is alive and well. I'm not on the side of the fence that thinks that you know, the brand of basketball is fading, the quality of basketball is fading. The only thing I will say is the timeouts are still something that
sure,
that bugs me as someone that covers the game, just because, you know, it dampers the flow of the game when a game's going back and forth and they have to call a timeout. It kind of messes with the quality of it. But from a fan perspective, I had to do a lot of fan pieces, a lot of features out there on fans and what they thought of the games, and a lot of them were very pleased with their experience at Key Arena. I mean, it's a neat place to see a game. They saw some back and forth action. They saw a near upset in UC Irvine over Louisville,
right,
and they saw some of the best teams in the country out there. So it was a good experience for me. It was a good experience for the fans that made the trip to Seattle.
Alex, thanks so much. Appreciate your insight and your time very much.
Hey, thanks, guys. Enjoy the rest of the tournament.
Alex Walker on the NCAA basketball tournament. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hey, guess what day it is?
Tuesday?
No, it's Hyundai.
Hyundai!
Remember, every day is Hyundai?
Hyundai!
And it's the Lease We Can Do sales event going on now at Sunbury Motors Hyundai.
Hyundai!
The Lease We Can Do is cut the crap and give you low payments and no money down. Lease a 2015 Hyundai Sonata SE for only $237 a month for 36 months with zero down. Zilch. Nada. Or lease a 2015 Hyundai Elantra SE for only $183 a month for 36 months. Again, no money down. Or you could go green. Lease a 2015 Hyundai Sonata Hybrid for $250 a month for 36 months, and you guessed it, zero due at sign. No hidden fees, no plus tax, and blah, blah, blah. It's the lease we can do. These cars are here, these deals are real, and they're only at your home for Hyundai, Sunbury Motors
Hyundai.
In the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, where every day is Hyundai.
Hyundai!
Lease is based on 10,000 miles per year, zero total due at signing with approved HMFR Tier 1 financing, tax included. See dealer for complete details.
Shamoka Dam Orchestra a bit late again today.
I forgot to cue them.
I gave them bonus croissants earlier.
I didn't get any of those.
They work.
I got nothing for that. I got nothing for that.
Thought I'd pass it along. All right. Open line the rest of the way at 800-795-9565, 800-795-9565. Covered a lot of ground today. Bob Walk on the show from Pirates Camp tomorrow. Talk about what they're doing and where they're going. Talk to Dick Girardi today. DJ is not going to go to the Syracuse Regional. He's going to lay back, watch the games, and then go to Indianapolis next week. That's where the Final Four is.
I'm aware.
Well, I figure if I was the Indy race of Hutchinson, Kansas, you'd be all over it. But
I wonder if they're racing in Kansas this year or not.
There aren't even people in Kansas who care. All right. Let's see.
Not true. No, I think it's true. Iowa. I think it's Iowa this year, not Kansas.
Hawkeye Downs. It's interesting in listening to people talk about the quality of the tournament. People just want to see good games and games with stakes. That's why when you look at the college football playoff, the college football playoff was great for everybody to get involved with and watch, because now you had games with stakes. It would be if Penn State played Florida State, for example. Penn State fans would watch in droves. Florida State fans would watch in droves. And you get some casual fans that are like, hey, it's a big game. It's the Orange Bowl, whatever. But now when you have the college football playoff and the winner moves on to the title game, it really played out the way I thought it would, that the ratings would go up exponentially. Well, that's what you have with the NCAA basketball tournament. People do brackets. They want to find out who's advancing, who's not advancing, who's in the office pool, so forth. But it's the one-and-done aspect. It's not a best-of-seven. Among the major sports, only college basketball and the NFL do it this way. And both the NFL, of course, popularity off the charts. NCAA basketball tournament, very popular with fans as well. They're the only ones that do one and done. Half hour to go and then we're done.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Tuesday. Bob Walk tomorrow from Bradenton at Pirates Camp. And Kevin with his usual mirth and merriment.
What exactly is mirth?
That's where you come into play.
Yeah, I know what
merriment
is.
Give us a call at 1-8. Yeah, we've been to parties with you. We're not sure. Yeah. I'm actually going to be in the Sunbury Motors Sunbury studio next week.
Are you?
Mm-hmm. Friday.
That'll be great. Be great to have you in the, as I like to call it, the Sunbury Motors Studio East.
You don't seem to be embracing this. You seem really unsure of yourself.
Well,
the other
you can make
seem
faces
very
at
happy.
Me. You can make faces at me through the window. The way we do it regularly, you know, I don't have to, you know, you can't make any faces at me. You could just make fun of me verbally.
What's more fun?
For you or for me?
Oh, for you. I mean, really. I mean, I have fun regardless.
Oh. I don't know. I'll have to think about it.
Yeah, again, there's the issue. All right. Give us a call at 800-795-9565. Want to jump in and talk about what's going on in sports. The L.A. situation has come up, obviously. That's the predominant talk in the NFL meetings. But for one thing, the Dez Bryant non-catch is a non-catch. You can talk. I mean, look, the guy made a great athletic play. He went up and got the ball, but he didn't catch it. Okay? You got to look. Here's one for you. You got to hang on to it. Now, that's a catch. Arizona State fires Herb Sendek. Here's a team that went 18-16, 9-9 in the Pac-12. Had an odd year. They beat Arizona 1 week. 10 days later, we're down 41-9 at Utah. Evidently, if Jeff Capel wants the job, he can have the job. We'll see. This is coaching carousel time. Everybody sees a quick and easy fix. Okay. That's fine. Jim Harbaugh says he's not worth $5 million a year. He says he's worth 10. I'm just kidding.
Right.
Well, I mean, that's the going rate on coaches these days. Yeah, but they offered it, so he took it.
Why not? Can't blame him for that.
not worth this kind of money, but, I mean, heck, they were willing to hand it to me, so I took it. Penn State is three practices down and 12 to go. I'll talk about Christian Hackenberg. There was a lot of criticism of Christian Hackenberg that he had digressed last season, which I repeatedly talked about on this show and said, please. Yeah. You're 19 years old and you're under constant duress. It becomes an issue. He was sacked, 44 times last year? That was number one in the nation. 1994, Kerry Collins sat back there in that pocket. You know how many times Kerry Collins was sacked in 1994? Five times. Five. Three were by accident. Five times. He probably was hit, including the sacks, eight or nine times all season. Hackenberg wasn't just sacked the 41, 42 times. It's the number of times he got hit. Yet, you look at how he throws the ball, how he sets up, how he makes things happen. He probably has impressed scouts even more by what he's done, because he has proven he can take a hit, get up, and still be mentally strong enough to keep playing for his team. When you look at the Pinstripe Bowl and how he brought them back, now this was at the end of a season in which you've been knocked on your back how many times? And you're down 21-7, and you drive your team down, and you get a touchdown at the end of the third quarter in the last play. You then drive your team down, and you tie the game up on that touchdown pass on just an absolutely remarkable throw to Deshaun Hamilton. I mean, that wasn't just a good throw. That was a great throw, and Jack and I had a great view of it. It was coming right at us as we were doing the game in the end zone. Then you're down 24-21, and again, in the clutch, you drive your team down, and you get a field goal, then you win the game in overtime. It is very simple. It is simplistic analysis to look at a guy and say, oh, look, he's not playing as well. He's digressed. There's no question that he had to throw the ball faster and quicker than he wanted to. No question about it. Could you be gun-shy once in a while? No question. But he showed everybody that he can take shots and keep getting up. The Ohio State game, they attacked him and attacked him and attacked him. And he kept getting up and getting up and getting up, and getting up. And again, same thing. What did he do in that game? He brought his team back, and he forced overtime. Even took the lead in overtime. When you're in that spot, and you're the quarterback, you're going to get the most praise when things go right. You're going to get the most criticism when things go wrong. It's just the nature of the position. We all know that. We all accept that. But this guy has some that allow him to be, I think, somebody that's very, very special. I want to tell you right now, what I've seen from him so far in practice, the juice and enthusiasm out of him at practice so far has been off the charts. This has been more than just going out to work. I mean, because he is a great competitor. He hates losing. He's a great competitor. But there's also been something different, and that is he's having fun out there. He's got great weapons to work with. Cy Blacknall he's getting better. Was really good from the second he walked in here. And to his credit, got better every week. He Geno Lewis can make the spectacular play. Now Geno Lewis has to be more consistent. Now you add in DeAndre Tompkins to this mix. Put him in the slot. Deep threat. Straight line speed. It's another weapon for him to work with. And a running game that's got a little more, I think, bounce and juice to it, because the offensive line should be okay up front for him. I don't know record-wise, obviously, how this turns out. But in the most trying of circumstances that any program in the country has had to go through, as a freshman and a sophomore quarterback, this guy has done some remarkable things. And while it's easy to take shots, you know, has he digressed? Is he gun shy? So forth. Walk a mile in his shoes, because in most placed in the spot Penn State's placed in on probation, it's the offensive line, the trenches, that usually is the area that where you're making those tough decisions. Do I take the lineman or do I take the skill guy? And they had to make some of those choices. And, of course, part of it is if you do that, that means that you're, you know, your quarterback who has a tremendous amount of skill is going to have to hang in. And he hung in and took some real shots. And it always made me uneasy listening to people criticize him, which I know does come with the position. But I would just sit back in the studio and I'd shake my head. To see the bounce with which he's come out in practice, I mean real legitimate, like bounce, joy, love for the game kind of bounce, been fun to watch. And he's got some players around him who can play. Maybe young. Godwin's a true sophomore. Blacknell's a true sophomore. Tompkins is a redshirt freshman. But he's got some guys that can play. And then you bring Adam Brenneman back into the mix. Gesicki, who's going to be a true sophomore, is just going to get better. I really like Gesicki a lot. And Kyle Carter, quietly there, doing his deal. Getting Brenneman back's huge. Brenneman knows how to play. He's also a target that Hackenberg is on the same page with. A better football team, in my mind, going into the next season than they were when they started last season. He's a big reason why. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. NFL owners today making some moves. One of them dealt with the Julian Edelman situation in the Super Bowl, where it appeared that he was woozy or almost out on his feet, stayed in the game after he got hit by Cam Chancellor. Under the new rule, a spotter at the game would communicate with the sideline, the side judge, to determine if the player is showing obvious signs of disorientation or is unstable. My goodness, I could shut this show down. Oh, stop laughing.
Who's unstable?
But this spotter can do this. Now, in the Northwestern game, Northwestern traveled with a trainer that was up in the box. So I've seen this done before. So we're going to put a certified trainer in this spot in every NFL stadium that can look down at a player and say, James Harrison, out. I said, how could you tell? I mean, well, he was moving slowly. I said, well, he's old.
Two more years.
That's your problem.
Listen, I must admit, I was not really excited about the two-year deal there.
Let's see. It was one of five safety enhancement rules approved by the owners today. They changed the rule for a peel-back block to include all offensive players being penalized as opposed to just those inside the tackle box. They also added a rule protecting receivers extending the protection if the pass is intercepted and the intended receivers remain unable to defend themselves from a hit. They made it illegal for a back to chop a defensive player engaged above the waist by another player engaged below the waist.
I'd like to see him do away with cut blocks altogether.
And pushing a teammate at the line of scrimmage on punts or field goals was also made illegal. They did table a proposal. I don't understand why they have to table this. They say they want to look into it more. About fixed camera positions on the sidelines and at the goal line and at the end line. Really?
You know what I don't like? The one proposed, and I don't know if it was voted on even yet, but the one proposal was to review pass interference calls.
Now that's not here.
Yeah.
That's not here.
I know they proposed it, but I can't imagine it going through. But I'm not a big fan of that idea.
There's only one penalty I know of where replay comes into effect.
Is that on the quarterback hit?
No. It's on whether or not you cross the line of scrimmage and
okay.
Throw the ball.
Yeah, on the illegal forward pass calls.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't like, I mean, granted there are some pass interference calls that are questionable, but if you're going to review pass interference, then you have to ask, well, why aren't we reviewing holding? Why aren't we reviewing block in the back on punt returns and kick returns?
Well, you have to draw the line. Yeah, but they'll throw these things out here, discuss it, and they'll probably come to the same conclusion you did. I mean, just because it's out there talking about doesn't mean they're going to do it. They also can review to see where the clock is at the end of the half, too.
Besides, if they review all these penalties, what am I going to have to complain about during a game?
America knows you.
If every pass interference call is going to be reviewed, would have been reviewed, it has not passed or anything. But if that proposal would have gone through, I mean, what are we going to complain about on Monday and Tuesday?
If Jennifer Aniston showed up in the studio right now, you would find something to complain about.
Her hair's too straight.
Exactly. That's my point.
It took too long to get together on Friends. I had to wait, what, 7 seasons before it finally ended?
Okay, I feel like I've opened the door to the dark room. That's never good.
You're the one that started it.
No, I just pointed out to the audience that you could find anything to complain about in any situation.
I mean, couldn't they have gotten together with Ross 4 other seasons before they did?
Just want to just fall down into the abyss. All right.
You're already there, brother.
So that is going to be some of the rules that they're looking at.
I do like the rule changes, though, in minor league baseball. I think this is going to be a very interesting year in the minors in Double A and Triple A. Pitch clock will be there. It will be in full view. And it will be fully enforced by the umpire. And there will be no more jumping in and out of the batter's boxes anymore. This should be really interesting when you go to a minor league game this year.
They pitch it, they hit it, I describe it, we're done.
Yeah, but it doesn't... That's why I wonder, why doesn't it go down to single A? Why is it just double A and triple A? If you're going to make that change, make it at all levels.
Because there is, the issue doesn't exist at those levels.
Okay, no, that's a fair one.
The issue about time of game does not exist at the single A level. They already have the 1 foot in the box rule. There's no walking around, dancing around after every pitch. They move it. That's the most of the games I do, Kevin, are in the 205 to 215, 220 range.
Wow.
I rarely get a game that goes over 220. Every once in a while, you get one of those nights. And the final score was 17-13. Thanks for joining us.
And I cannot believe I'm saying this, but I think it's time for baseball to evaluate unified rules. And I think you know what I mean regarding the DH.
It's about time.
It's taken me a long time to get here, but I truly believe that if you want to progress the game further, you either have to have the DH in both leagues or not have the DH in both leagues. The separation when you have interleague baseball makes no sense. Now, I do support the DH in the National League because I do want to see guys hit the baseball.
Well, here's the key today in offensive baseball. The really successful teams are the ones that are able to hit relief pitchers. Last year, major league hitters hit .242 against bullpens. That is the lowest batting average against bullpens since 1968. The successful teams are the ones that can have more hitters hit above that .250 mark against bullpens as opposed to starting pitchers. You don't need your starting pitcher going deep into games anymore. Bullpens are that important now. And it's the teams that have the higher batting averages against bullpens that are the truly successful offensive teams in Major League Baseball today. And you're freaked out, I know the average.
It's kind of disturbing.
But that's a fact, and that's where good offense is now.